This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. John chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 1, very familiar portion of Scripture. The Bible says Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he didn't even hear them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted him up himself and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last, until Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Today I want to preach for just a little while from this subject. Neither do I condemn thee. If you would set your Bibles down and lift your voice to heaven. Jesus, we love you and we're so thankful, Lord God, that you've made your way into this place. I pray that you would have your wonderful way. I pray every wall would come down, every shield, every piece of armor, and that, Lord God, we would give ourselves to you completely, Lord God, that you might do a healing and a good work today in the midst of your people. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. If you're going to preach with me, shout amen. 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 You may be seated. Very, very familiar portion of Scripture. One that we need to be reminded of often. This woman was caught in the act. There was no denying where she was or what she was doing. Caught in the very act. I would ask the question why Pharisees were scanning people's homes, but I won't do that today. It began in shame, her story. But can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it ended in salvation. It started out irreputable, but Jesus found an opportunity to turn it around. Can I tell you, Jesus is looking for a turnaround today. Jesus is looking to do something in our midst today. Jesus did. He came here on purpose for purpose. Amen. She was caught in the act. There was no excuses. There was no defense. She was dragged into the public for humiliation. Anybody know what it feels like to be humiliated? Can you imagine? Drug right out there in front of everybody for the whole world to see. Surrounded by religious folks who wanted to see her destroyed and not restored. There's something wrong with that. When we would rather see somebody tore down than build them back up and allow God's redemptive work to happen, there's a problem with that scenario. We need to check up from the neck up. If we can't forgive somebody and watch them be restored, the Bible reminds us that such were some of you. Some of y'all were heathens. Some of y'all were out there. Some of y'all had problems, but Jesus showed up on your scene. They thought See, the Pharisees thought, oh, we're going to bring her and she's going to be judged real good. Jesus is going to judge her just right. But what they didn't realize is that they were bringing her to the author and finisher of our faith, and that there was a miracle in the making, and they got to be part of it. Let me tell you something. When you start to get angry at those that are causing you pain, just realize they're nudging you toward a miracle. They're nudging you toward a victory. They're nudging you to a better tomorrow. Amen. They brought her to the only one that could save her. When we realize that Jesus is the only one that can fix it, something happens. Thank you, Sister Lawson. When we realize that Jesus is the only one that can fix our problems, whatever it is, Jesus can fix it if we'll get out of the way. If we'll make our way to Him and then get out of the way, Jesus will make it all right. He will take care of it all. Amen. Today I want to remind you, first of all, this. Jesus is going to find you at your lowest. I want you to understand, salvation finds you at your lowest. Salvation finds you when you have no alternatives, when you have no plan B, when you decide that Jesus is plan A and I'm going to stick with plan A. Salvation is going to find you and you are going to be made whole. Let me tell you, she wasn't on her way to church. She was on her way to be stoned. She was not on her way to the synagogue. She was on her way to take her last breath. Because back then, if you were having relations outside of marriage, it was stoning. You were killed on the spot. Can I tell you? She was on her way to take her last breath, and Jesus stepped in. Some of us might think that we're at the end of our road, but can I tell you? You're only at the beginning. Jesus is going to show up if you'll let Him. If you'll allow the Master to make a miracle out of your mess, you will find salvation. She didn't come to Jesus voluntarily. She was drugged to Jesus. Well, understand that from our reading. She didn't walk down to Jesus. The Pharisees drug her there. They literally drug her, and the Bible says cast her at the feet of Jesus. She was thrown at His feet. But Romans 5 and 8 reminds us of this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is that saying, Brother Lawson? While you were partying, Jesus died for you. When you were taking a hit off a joint, Jesus died for you. While you were in an inappropriate relationship, Jesus died for you. When you were taking the Lord's name in vain, He still died for you. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, Jesus took it all into account and He died for you. We get this misconception that because of where I've been, Jesus didn't die for. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. Tell your neighbor, yes, He did. Salvation, oh, hear me today. Salvation is not climbing up to God. Salvation is not being good enough. It's about God coming down where we're broken at and we're saying, God, I need You. It's Him meeting you right there at your weakest and your most vulnerable. And God says, I'm here, child. We get it so mixed up. And I believe the churches have caused it. Where we got to look just such and such, and we got to talk just such and such. Jesus wants you just right where you're at. It's if I get cancer, I'm not going to wait till I'm healed to go to the doctor. I'm not going to wait till the tumor's gone to go to the doctor. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in that hospital, and any hospital is going to begin to treat the tumor. Can I tell you, sin's cancerous, but Jesus is a great physician, and He can cut a tumor out. We don't wait to get rid of the tumor of sin. We go to God and allow Him to cut it out. We allow Him to treat us. We allow Him to give us some Holy Ghost therapy. You think you got to clean yourself up before coming to God. This woman's story proves otherwise. It takes out any doubt. How do you know that, Brother Lawson? By Jesus' own words. I know you've been caught. The evidence is clear. There's been witnesses to what you did. But I want one of you without sin to cast the first stone. And as they walked away and it was just her, what happened? We know. Neither do I condemn thee. See, the Lord just wants you to run to Him. When it gets tough, run to Him. Quit running back to the old paths because the old paths have proven what they are. It's time to try something new, even when it gets hard. It's time to try something new, even when I don't understand. It's time to try God. When I don't get where God's going, it's still, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm telling you today, I am so thankful in my personal life that I trusted Him instead of trusting myself. I'm just going to follow my heart, Brother Lawson. Lord have mercy. Anybody ever said that? I'm just going to follow my heart. And then you find out, you read a little further in the Bible and it says, the heart is exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? Lord, don't trust your heart. Trust Him. Trust the one that created your heart. Trust the one who's the author and finisher of your salvation. You know, trust the one who says, I know my thoughts towards you, thoughts of good and not evil. Let me tell you, her salvation silenced her accusers. Can I tell you, when you come to Jesus, ain't nobody can do anything with your old story because it's your old story. There's a new, oh, you listen. The crowd came with stones, but Jesus came with grace. Let me ask you a question. When people you know mess up, do you come with a stone? And I'm not talking a physical stone, but a word. Well, you really messed that one up. Or are you coming in with grace? Get back up. We're going to try it again. Jesus is going to make it all right. The crowd came ready. Ready to kick her while she was down. Not Jesus, though. Jesus showed up with compassion and grace. He bent down and wrote in the dust. We're not told what He wrote, but whatever it was, something changed in the accuser's mentality. Because Jesus knows your story. Jesus knows what He has planned for you. I wonder if that's what He was writing in the sand. See, the enemy's already got it figured out how your end's going to be, and it's not going to be good. But maybe he sees you starting an addiction recovery program, and he wrote that down. This is how their first Celebrate Recovery is going to go, because they know a little something about it. This is how they're going to help single moms because they were there and they remember. Maybe it's teenagers because they grew up a rough teenager, but now they get to tell their story. See, we don't know what he wrote, but I believe he began to write something that included the future plans for them. Amen. The law said she was guilty, but Jesus said, nah, you're redeemable. Can I tell you, if we were to listen to some of our peers, we'd already be in the ground. If we were to listen to the voices of this world and the enemy, it would all be over. We might as well go call up somewhere. But Jesus said, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. It ain't always going to be like this. Joy comes in the morning. Can I tell you, you may be in a midnight place in your life, but joy is coming in the morning. Amen. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you, all it takes is repentance, saying, God, I'm sorry, I've made a mess. Anybody make a mess of their life? I messed this thing all up, Jesus. I did everything wrong. But Lord, if you'll forgive me, I won't go back. See, that's repentance. When you say, not you're sorry that you got caught, not that you're sorry that somebody found your sin out, but God, I'm so tired of living this way and I just want to serve you. When you repent like that and you say, God, if you'll deliver me, I'll never go back. If you'll forgive me, I'll never go back. If you heal me, I'll never go back. That's repentance. And then, listen, it's good to repent. Amen? It's required. But then you got to be washed. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. The only method of baptism ever used in the New Testament. Look in your Bible. I know what Matthew 28:19 says, but can I tell you, everywhere somebody was baptized, they were baptized in Jesus' name. What does that do? Brother Galker, it washes my sins away. When I repent, I'm sorry, but I'm still dirty. I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, but the sin stains are still there. So I'm baptized with him, totally immersed in the water. And brought back up. And can I tell you, we found this out last week, you ain't never too big to be baptized. There may be a tsunami that follows, but can I tell you, we have a tank big enough. So if you need to be baptized, we're going to baptize you. And God is going to do a work. Amen. Brother William prophesied it. He said, there's going to be a tsunami. And I said, I don't care. Then we put him under and the wave came. But praise God, he went down in Jesus' name, and today he's a new person. He ain't the same as he used to be. Can I tell you? Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's some things changing around First Apostolic Church and in your lives. And here's the great part. Once you've repented, God, I'm sorry. I'm never going to do it again. I'm going to preach to you for a minute. I'm never going to do it again. I've had enough. And then you're baptized. My God, Jesus, I want all this old junk washed off of me. I don't want none of it. And then you know what? You believe that you can get the Holy Ghost, Sister Olivia. You believe that Jesus will come. Can I tell you, there was things I fought before I got the Holy Ghost that had the upper hand on me. But when I got the Holy Ghost, everything changed. And I didn't, the work of the enemy no longer had power over me, because there was something greater in me than what was in the world. And I was able to overcome addictions that I had because I allowed the Holy Ghost to come. Let me tell you something. Not only is the Holy Ghost necessary, I can't live without it. For the promises unto you and your children, all those that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That means me and you. That means I need the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, you want to live a victorious life? Get the Holy Ghost. Watch what happens in your life. Amen. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12:10, but salvation shuts his mouth. Because the reason he accuses you is because he cannot get redemption. The reason he fights you is because he knows how powerful you are and what you're capable of. See, that's why in the Old Testament, the kings, when they found out Jesus was on the way, they had all the male children killed, because they knew something was coming. The enemy wants to kill you in your infancy stage. Look, he wants to take you out because he knows what you're capable of. He knows that there's something great in you. He knows that you got a testimony. Can I tell you, and I mentioned this earlier today, you don't need to know this book frontwards and backwards to win somebody. All you need to know is what Jesus did for me, and how he set me free, and how he liberated me, and how I'm not doing the things I used to do, and how he healed my body, how he saved my soul. That's all you need to know, and watch what Jesus does. When you're covered by the blood, the accusations don't stick. When you are covered by the blood, that's what happens when you go down in Jesus' name. The blood is applied to your life. When Moses went to deliver the people of Israel, they had to put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel couldn't touch them. Can I tell you, when you have the blood applied to your life, the enemy can't touch you. He can roar like a lion, but he can't touch you. He can form weapons against you, but they won't prosper. Can I tell you, you can live a victorious life when you are his. The enemy will do everything in his power to convince you that you can't make it. But can I tell you, when you are baptized in Jesus' name, you've got the Holy Ghost, you can make it. You have everything you need. Salvation removes condemnation, but wait for it. It requires transformation. It removes condemnation, but it requires transformation. Jesus didn't say, neither do I condemn thee, just go back and do whatever you want to do. He didn't say that. He didn't say, neither do I condemn thee, just try to do better. It's not what he said. What did the Bible say? Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. We can't keep doing what we used to do and think that we're going to live a victorious life. Jesus has called us out. Grace doesn't just forgive, but it empowers you to change. You see, when I got the Holy Ghost, anybody other than me afraid of a Pentecostal church before you knew anything about it? Anybody other than me? I was terrified. Sis, look, I was terrified. I was a good old denominational boy. And the most excited we got was this right here. And that was a little out of character, okay? You was living on the wild side with that one. Whoa. But I also at the same time believed that once saved, always saved, and I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. That's not correct. Because we have to change. But Jesus is never going to ask us to do something he's not going to empower us to do. Look, I'm going to tell you, how many of us, when we came to God, we lost friends? Yep. Now, how many of us gained new friends? How many of us gained a circle? Come on, we got new people at our table. God's never going to take something away without replacing it with something better. I want you to hear me today. Can I tell you? He's going to give you everything you need. You just got to believe him for it. You got to trust him for it. I thank God for my godly friends. My friends in the world would cause trouble and leave me to deal with it. I'm not going to give the devil no glory today. Let me keep preaching. Lord have mercy. Titus 2:11-12. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. We have to change. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're going to have to change. It's part of it. We don't do what we used to do. Can I tell you, when you start making the changes, you walk through that door back here and that first note hits, even if the sound system's jacked up, you're going to want to praise. You're going to want to get up here and dance because you've been set free. You've been delivered. God's done did a thing in your life. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you, you're going to want to live differently than you did because you've seen the results of the past lifestyle. Amen? True salvation is freedom from sin and not freedom to sin. You see, we're still judged. Bible says that some of the believers would scarcely make it. So what it said, I read that the other day. I was like, oh, Lord. Scarcely make it. There are going to be some at the end time. They're going to say, Master, we did all these things in your name. And he's going to say, I never knew you. So what the Bible, hey, listen to me. We got to have a relationship with him outside of Sunday. We've got to, look, I'm going to tell you, I want to know him on Monday. I want to know him on Tuesday. I'm going to come hear about him on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, I'm taking him to work with me. Come on, Jesus. And then Friday, when I go out to the restaurant, the waitresses are going to know about him. Everywhere I go, because he's made that much of an impact. I don't want to live in sin. I want to tell everybody about Jesus. If you've truly met Jesus, there should be a go and sin no more in your story. If you've truly met him. Everywhere I read that someone communed with Jesus that came to him wrong, left, right, the demoniac of Gadara. They put him in chains. And that fellow would bust the chains with no problem. He lived with dead people. He slept alongside corpses. But when he ran to Jesus, everything changed. When the disciples came back, he was clothed and in his right mind because something changed. And he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you go tell everybody what I did for you. Go tell everybody. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we don't go back. He didn't go back to the catacombs. He didn't go back to the cemetery. He didn't go back to the chains. But he had a change, and he went to tell everybody about his change. Can I ask a question? Who have you told about your change? Who have you told that Jesus did something for me? Jacob. We don't have any Jacobs in the house today, do we? No. Praise God. Jacob, his name meant liar. Deceiver, supplanter, heel grabber. Anybody ever get names growing up that you didn't like? Nicknames? Maybe ugly names, right? And it just kind of stuck. Jacob was stuck with deceiver, heel grabber, because that he had deceived his brother out of the birthright. On the way out of the womb, he grabbed his brother's heel, trying to get out first, because if he got out first, he got the birthright. All his life, he was second place. All his life, second place to his brother. Then Jesus. The Lord met him at a place, and he began to wrestle with him. Anybody wrestling with God right now? Come on. He wrestled with him till the daybreak. And the angel said, let me go. He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. How many of us are willing to go that far that we're not going to quit praying till our blessing comes? We're not going to quit serving till our blessing comes. We're not going to keep reaching or quit reaching until our blessing comes. And he said, and he got right down to it, what's your name? He got down to the thing that hurt him. Every person under the sound of my voice has some type of past that everybody wants to identify you with. And Jesus wants you to confront it head on. Quit running from it. It happened. It's okay. It's in your past. Tomorrow is what matters. It's not what happened yesterday. And so he tells Jacob, he said, what's your name? He said, Jacob. He said, not no more, honey, because now it's Israel, because you prevailed as a prince. Can I tell you that tomorrow is a new day? You have prevailed. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost, you need to cast off every old name because you're brand new. Look at your neighbor and tell them you're brand new. You don't go to the same places no more. You don't do the same things anymore. I don't go to the liquor store no more. I don't, unless I'm getting communion wine and then I get caught by somebody wondering why the pastor's at the liquor store. True story. It's so awkward. It had to be somebody I worked with. Preacher, what are you doing in the liquor? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's people I don't go around because I know that they're bad news. Look, I'm going to tell you, he will cut off some connections. He will. People that, how many of us know a person that's bad news for you? If you didn't raise your hand, you're the bad news person. You have to, look, I know. And here's what I hear as a pastor. Well, I just want to share Jesus with them. I get it. You do that one time, and then you let them sit on that. Because if you find yourself communing with them, you'll fall back in the same old habits. If you struggle with something, cut it off. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. If you struggle with something and you know it's a struggle for you, don't have no cahoots with it. If you struggle with looking at stuff, cut it off, whatever the source is. You struggle with drinking, my God, don't go to a bar. My God, don't go to somewhere where they're going to serve alcohol. My God, don't stay around somebody who drinks all the time, because it'll eventually wear off on you. If you got somebody If you're married and you have a friend that hates their husband, man, I'm going to tell you, you don't want to cut that off because you'll hate your husband. Look, I mean, it's for real. It's for real. It sure will. You have to protect yourself and your family. You have to protect your salvation. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Yeah. And then what will happen is if you succumb to that, then the enemy comes in and brings condemnation. I can't believe you thought that. You're a child of God. I can't believe you drank that. You're supposed to be saved. Look, the enemy will tempt you to the point where you give in, and then he'll beat you over the head with condemnation because you fell for his trick. Can I tell you, that's why you back up and you abstain from the very appearance of evil. That's what the Bible says. Don't get convicted now, Bro Jones. Go ahead and sit down. You should have a go and sin no more in your story. I used to do this, but not no more. I used to listen to that, but I don't no more. I used to drink that, but not no more. Last point I want to make is that salvation is personal. When it all was said and done, and the scene settles, the commotion has died down, the dust is settled, there's no crowd, there's no accusers, there's just a woman and Jesus. When nobody else there, your salvation is personal, it's between you and Jesus. Let me say this, you don't need to count on anybody else for your salvation other than him. You should not be living for God for anybody else. You'll end up resenting it. It should be for you. It should be because I want to know him better. He is my rock and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Salvation is ultimately between you and him. It's not. Look, I love coming together in this church. I love seeing every one of you. I thank God that my wife has got a praise team, some praise team partners, some praise partners that have come up here and cut a rug with her. I love it. I love coming together with everybody. But at the end of the day, it's between me and Jesus. It's when I get in my closet and pray and say, God, I need you. This is what I'm struggling with. God, I need you to lead me and guide me every single day. Help me. Lord God, lead me not into temptation. Lord, help me to stay away from the things that I don't know, that I know aren't good. It doesn't matter what the crowd says. The only voice that matters is his. Are you perfect? No. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But the crowd wants to beat you up. As I'm closing today, I want to give a little personal testimony. Years ago, when I was a kid, I went to 3 separate high schools in my junior year. Well, your parents sure moved a lot. No, they just lived in the same house. I just kept getting kicked out of schools. I was somewhat of a troublemaker. Quit laughing, Kaylin. Everywhere I went, I tried Dixie Heights High School and got in trouble there, was expelled. Boone County High School, the same thing happened. Went to 5th District. It was supposed to be for the worst of the worst. Got kicked out of there. Ended up at a private school that the kids that couldn't make it in public school went to. Spent my last little bit of schooling there. Got in so much trouble, Lord. I have to pick a time to tell y'all all the stories from there. I left that school. They had all my records. And Jesus got a sense of humor. Got married, had kids. Ended up really getting in church. We outgrew the building we were in. And we found a building for sale, and it happened to be where I went to school. And so we bought the building and we were cleaning it out, and they found this old file cabinet. And they began to look at it. They began to look at the records. They found mine. It wasn't good. But here's what I want to get to. Some of my classmates had came back to get their school records and found me. I was a youth pastor then. And they looked and they said, "You're a youth pastor?" And I, yeah. "Do they not know who you are?" And I said, "Let me correct you. It's who I was. Now I have a testimony. And I can speak to kids about what they're going through." Can I tell you, all your story is doing is building a testimony. And when you turn that over, God's going to put you in the path of somebody who needs your voice. Somebody's going to put you exactly in a position to minister to somebody. See, that's why the Lord is not condemning you. He's calling you closer. He knew your story before you even created your story, because the Bible tells us that He knows the end from the beginning, but He still knows His thoughts toward us. Amen. On Judgment Day, it won't be you in the crowd. It'll be you and Jesus. And you're going to want to hear Him say, "Neither do I condemn you." But what you're going to want to hear Him say is, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Would you stand with me today?